Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated May 26, 2017. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Walker honored with road designation. Stretch of Illinois 48 named for ex-Macon County Sheriff, Decatur. One by one, Illinois senators stood and said, "I knew Roger Walker." After State Senator Andy Menard, Democrat of Bunker Hill, introduced a resolution to name a stretch of Macon County Highway after the former county sheriff during Thursday session, he and four other senators talked about their experience knowing Walker and the influence he had on their careers. "I met Roger Walker in 2003 when I was speaking at a conference in Collinsville on blacks in law enforcement," said State Senator James Claiborne, Democrat of East St. Louis. "I finished the speech and he came up to me and introduced himself. He made me feel like I'd known him for a long period of time. He was a very personable man who believed in people and his community. He had a passion for his job. Even when he became ill, he was still a very proud man. He made no excuses and did his job. I have a lot of respect for Roger Walker." The resolution, Senate Joint Resolution 37, passed unanimously. It designates Illinois 48 from Elwin Road to East Mound Road as Sheriff Roger Walker Memorial Road. Walker, who died in 2012, was elected Macon County Sheriff in 1998. He was the first black sheriff in Illinois. Walker would go on to serve as the director of the Illinois Department of Corrections. He was one of the most remarkable citizens Illinois has ever seen and had run for public office, said Menard, who met Walker while he was leading the corrections department. "He overcame a lot of obstacles. He was personable, positive, and he could work with both sides of the aisle." Walker was an Eisenhower School and Richland Community College graduate and served in the Navy from 1967 to 1969. He joined the Macon County Sheriff's Office as deputy in 1972 and served the department in several capacities until running for sheriff in 1998. He was reelected in 2002, but was appointed to the Department of Corrections a year later by then-Governor Rod Blagojevich and served as director for 6 years. "I knew law was Roger's passion because growing up, he was the neighborhood sheriff. He would wear his two cowboy guns and keep peace in the neighborhood," said Hilda Walker, Roger's sister. She was one of the several family members in Springfield on Thursday. Others attending were Roger Walker's brothers Thomas and Arthur Lee Walker, and nephews Corey and Shaylin Walker. "He was always genuine and he never let his head get bigger than his heart. He had compassion for his community. If he was here today, he would be so honored," Hilda Walker said. While Walker was well known locally, he was just as appreciated statewide. State Senator Maddie Hunter, Democrat of Chicago, says she's been to Thomas Walker's church, Main Street Church of the Living God, and couldn't think of a better man to name a street after. State Senator Tim Bivens, Republican of Dixon, said he also knew Walker. "I had the honor of working with Roger Walker while he was the sheriff, and he's everything you all are saying he was," Bivens said. "The sheriffs loved him. He was a fun guy to be around. He was always happy and uplifting. He always had a smile. I appreciate his family for sharing him with us." While Walker's family knew of Roger's fame statewide, it was still a proud moment to hear his name spoken by so many on the Senate floor. "To hear all those people talk about him, there are so many people who he'll live forever in their hearts," Shaylin Walker said. "He's still a pillar within our family. His name will always bring all of us together." "I tried to hold back the tears, but we're a faith-based family, and in light of everything that's going on in the world, it's good to hear his name out there." The new road. The stretch of road named after former Macon County Sheriff Roger Walker was originally announced to be along Business Route 51 from Ash Avenue to Elwin Road, but State Senator Andy Menard's office later found out that That road was already named in Illinois Department of Transportation's records as Veterans Parkway. Sheriff Roger Walker Memorial Road will instead be on Illinois 48 from Elwood Road to East Mound Road. Fuel costs. Holiday may have high traffic. Decatur. Amid relatively low gas prices and an economy with some good signs, AAA says more people will travel this weekend than in any previous Memorial Day period in the past 12 years. The Auto Club's prediction for the holiday weekend, the traditional start of the summer travel season, is on track with other organizations' projections of record high airline travel this summer. AAA says 39.3 million people across the country are expected to go more than 50 miles from home during the holiday weekend, which the organization defines as running from Thursday through Monday. That's an increase of about 2.7% over last year, with the vast majority of travelers, 88%, driving. Lower unemployment and gas prices have been credited for the rise in travel plans. As of Thursday, the average price for regular gas in Illinois was $2.44 per gallon, according to a AAA survey. That's only 1% higher than a year ago. But far below the peak of more than $4.31 reached on May 5th, 2011. The national average Thursday was $2.37, up from last year's $2.30, but far below the all-time high of $4.11 reached in July of 2008. Most construction work zones on Illinois highways will be inactive from 3 p.m. Friday until midnight Tuesday morning, but some lane closures will remain in place, said the Illinois Department of Transportation. The Auto Club says travel is predicted to jump this weekend, even though some key costs of trips have gone up. For example, AAA says its average three-diamond rated hotel has a price tag of $215 a night, or 18% more than last year. The Auto Club said car rental rates will average $66 a day, or 7% above the 2016 figure. But car rental bookings are running 19% higher than in last year's Memorial Day period, AAA said. AAA said average airfares this weekend are expected to be up 9% than in 2016, with $181 the average round-trip ticket. Still, Airlines for America, the trade industry group for major domestic airlines, cited low fares as one reason for its projected all-time high of 234.1 million passengers traveling worldwide on American carriers for June, July, and August. Also predicting an all-time high for summer travel is airfarewatchdog.com. That website says it surveyed more than 1,300 travelers and that almost 85% expect to take at least one trip, a 12% increase over 2016. The website adds that online search demand related to summer travel is up almost 50% from a year ago. Joni Zachary, travel consultant for Franklin Travel in Decatur, believes that the economy has given a boost to the travel industry. People are traveling and traveling further out, she said. The worries of terrorists and diseases have altered travel only slightly. Zachary has seen travelers continue to visit popular overseas destinations, such as Paris, Ireland, and Italy. They are all still doing all of those trips, she said, but they take precautionary measures. Travelers booking through Timmy's Tours in Moequa have requested trips to areas they view safe. Guests go to Australia and other countries not hit by the violence, said Timmy Kaufman, owner. It makes a difference. Both travel agents find many travelers still prefer popular sites in the United States. Domestic travel includes Florida's Disney World, California, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Alaska, and Las Vegas, Nevada. They are always busy, Zachary said. Many of Kaufman's clients are senior citizens seeking easy travel to popular destinations. Her bus is often seen at St. Louis and Chicago theaters and other nearby tourist destinations. People would rather have experiences than things, Kaufman said. Back at home, those staying home can take advantage of local events to celebrate the holiday. The Fairview Family Aquatic Center will open for the season on Saturday. The public is invited to cooking with the corral, with music and a picnic at Fairview Park Pavilion 1. The event begins at 5 p.m. with concessions. The show will start at 6 p.m. Memorial Day services will be held at 11:30 a.m. at Graceland Cemetery with speakers State Representative Bill Mitchell, Republican of Forsyth. The Veterans Assistance Commission of Macon County will also have a Memorial Day commemoration at 10 a.m. at Fairview Park Pavilion. Speakers include Lieutenant Sheriff John Butts and Pastor Mike Fender. Scoville Zoo will be celebrating Memorial Day beginning at 9:30 a.m. Monday. Veterans will receive free admission and train rides. In education, teacher shortage bill passes first hurdle, Springfield. Legislation to offer another avenue to students wishing to pursue teaching degrees has passed the Senate Education Committee. Senator Dale Ryder, Republican of Mattoon, proposed the legislation, which would allow candidates for teaching to use their grade point average in college to play a role in whether he or she can be licensed to teach. Currently, students who want to become teachers must achieve minimum scores on a standardized test, either the ACT, SAT, or Basic Skills /TAP test. Illinois teacher shortage, especially in high needs district, means that in 2016 there will be 6,381 unfilled teaching positions. Since 2011, Ryder said, applications to enroll in teacher preparation programs in universities has dropped 56%. Because students take the ACT or SAT prior to enrolling in college, he added, those tests don't provide as good a measure of whether the student will be an effective teacher as their performance in college does. The Illinois State Board of Education has said it opposes the bill because it is difficult to measure GPA fairly among universities' teacher preparation programs, with each having their own standards. Senate Bill 1123 now goes before the full Senate. In local news, Decatur jobless rate improving. The Decatur area continues to lose non-farm jobs, though it goes hand in hand with a continued drop in unemployment. The jobless rate in the Decatur metropolitan area was 4.9% in April, down 6.3% last April, according to Illinois Department of Employment Security data released Thursday. The rate was 5.7% in March. Decatur continues to have the fifth highest unemployment rate in the state. Rockford is 6.9%, Danville 5.8%, Peoria is 5.1%, and Kankakee is 5%. The unemployment rate in Decatur was 5.5% in April and 6.8% in April of 2016, but Decatur could not break away from the statewide trend in losing more non-farm jobs. The region area has 51,500 non-farm jobs as of April, down 600 from last year. There were payroll increases in the number of jobs in professional and business services, with 200 more jobs, and in educational and health services, and health care and social services, both with 100 more jobs. A loss of 100 jobs occurred in retail trade, manufacturing, transportation, warehousing, and utilities, wholesale trade and information, while 400 jobs were lost in leisure and hospitality. The retail sector in the region, like many across the U.S., has been especially hard hit. Hickory Point Mall in Forsyth, for example, has lost Children's Place, MC Sports, Rue 21, and other stores. Declining unemployment rates relative to a year ago aren't good news when they reflect declining labor force rather than growing employment, says IDES Director Jeff Mays. Aside from Decatur, eight other metropolitan areas saw a decrease in non-farm jobs. The April unemployment rate was also down in areas surrounding Decatur. Christian County was 4.8%, down from 5.8% a year ago. DeWitt County was 4.3%, down from 5.5%. Logan County was 4.1%, down from 4.9%. Moultrie County 3.6%, down from 4.4%. Piatt County was 3.6, down from 4.6. Shelby County was 4%, down from 5.3%. The statewide unemployment rate was 4.4, down from 5.8 a year ago, but still above the national average of 4.1. The unemployment rate identifies those who are out of work and looking for work, and is not tied to collecting unemployment insurance benefits. Nationally, the U.S. Labor Department on Thursday said the four-week average for weekly unemployment aid fell 5,750 to 235,000. Oh, let's see how they've got that. 235,250, the lowest level since April 14th, 1973. In state and regional, the enormity of the disaster. Coles County remembers 1917 tornado. Charleston. It was described as a deluge of water, wind, thunder, and lightning, and the most terrible shrieking roar you can imagine. Such words are commonly used to describe what hit Coles County 100 years ago today, though the magnitude of what happened barely has equal. With 91 people killed and nearly 600 more injured in Charleston and Mattoon alone, the May 26, 1917 tornado still ranks as the third deadliest on record for the state of Illinois. Today, the anniversary of the tornado, there's still evidence of the true impact of the disaster. A telling example is a photograph that shows a man carrying a Bible alongside a woman, a child with a doll and a toy drum, and another child pushing a stroller, apparently a family walking past piles of debris and several damaged buildings. Bill Lovecamp, an Eastern Illinois University professor who studied the tornado's impact and who's helping with the anniversary observation, called the photograph amazing. It really puts it in perspective that it impacted real people, he said. The photograph is part of a display on the tornado at the Coles County Historical Society Museum in the basement of the Mattoon Amtrak Depot. That collection and others give some idea today of what happened on that Saturday 100 years ago and the days that followed. The tale of the deluge of water and shrieking roar comes from Isora Story, who witnessed the tornado from the Coles County Courthouse, where she worked as the county's assistant superintendent of schools. Story's account, also part of the Historical Society's display, also tells of the devastation she and others experienced following the storm. She described a scene at the courthouse where the corridors were filled with women screaming and begging someone to hunt for their children or other members of their family. The tornado was one of several that were part of a storm system that hit the Midwest that afternoon. It reached Mattoon just before 3:30 p.m., and at its peak had wind speeds of more than 200 miles per hour, which would have made it an F4 tornado with today's rating system. Story's account starts by noting a peculiar haze all around during the sun-filled hours before the tornado, but another tells of angry clouds and how a gathering gloom began to make itself apparent, but was met with little concern. Visitors to the Historical Society Museum can also take a step back a half a century and hear a recording of a documentary the WLBH radio station in Mattoon aired on the 50th anniversary of the tornado. Men still refused to heed the promptings of their better judgment, or else despite their judgment, with the most terrible of maladies, the blind faith of the past that says, because a destructive storm has never visited our city, it never will. The documentary reported that the duration of the disaster was brief, but the destruction was appalling, and the enormity of the disaster soon led to a response that ranged from military personnel overseeing the two towns to criers sent through the streets calling for food and clothing. The documentary also mentioned the fledgling Illinois chapter of the American Red Cross and its response to the emergency, one of the first duties which it undertook. It took one day for a Citizens Relief Committee to form and to care for the injured and raise money. A Charleston newspaper reported that a pale gloom rests over our city 2 days after the tornado, and how the loss of electricity and other effects of the storm limited the publication to one page for several days. It's still possible to read accounts of Charleston's awful calamity, as the June 4, 1917 edition of the Charleston Courier described the disaster. The newspapers from the time of the tornado are among those that Charleston resident Gary Brinkmeyer rescued from the Times Courier building on 6th Street when the newspaper moved from there in 2003. Brinkmeyer noted that when the paper returned after the tornado to publishing an 8-page edition, part of its coverage was a list of damaged property along with the names of the killed and injured. They literally identified all the demolished residences, those damaged, and the owners of the property, he said. Brinkmeyer credited an interest in history, especially Charleston's, for preserving the newspapers, as well as obtaining the postcards and a photo book that are also part of his collection. Tornadoes are so unusual, he said. Many of the photos show general but extensive damage to buildings that were in Charleston at the time. Others are more personal, with one showing a mattress on which a baby and a Bible were found. Brinkmeyer also noted how the newspaper reported on donations to the relief effort from other cities and towns, including nearly $2,400 from Chicago, quite a bit of money in the day. But there was also what he described as an almost chastisement as well, with the publications urging people to contribute more. It was almost shaming people who hadn't done their part, he said. The newspaper's call was to the last opportunity to fix the price of your own humanity. It asked, "What shall the recovering angel write as the value of your soul?" A3 Briefs. Police seek robbery suspect. Decatur police have released a picture of a male robbery suspect they say strong-armed a gas station clerk to steal money from the cash till early Thursday. The robbery happened at 1 a.m. at the Huck's convenience store, 204 North 22nd Street. The female clerk sustained a slight cut to one hand in a struggle with the suspect as he made a grab for the money, police said. Deputy Chief Dave Dickerson said the suspect had made a purchase and used this as a ruse to get the cashier to open a cash drawer. As she went to make change, that is when he struck, Dickerson said. He said the surveillance photo of the suspect's face is very clear, and he's confident that if the man is from the Decatur area, somebody will be able to identify him. Call Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. That's 423-8477, or detectives at 424-2734. That's 424-2734. Decatur's population drops by 548. The city of Decatur saw its population drop by 548 residents between 2015 and 2016, according to a report released Thursday morning by the U.S. Census Bureau. The population of Decatur was 72,706 on July 1, 2016, which was down from 73,254 the previous year. Overall population is down 4.5% from 2010, when the Decatur population was 76,138. It follows a similar trend to the numbers released in March that looked at the entire Decatur metropolitan area. Those numbers showed a Decatur metropolitan area, which is all of Macon County, lost 827 residents between July 1, 2015 and July 1, 2016. Pork leadership applications sought. Springfield. Illinois Pork Producers Association is taking applications for the 2017 Illinois Pork Leadership Institute, held June 26th through the 29th. Interested students can be finishing their junior year in high school or no older than 23 by March 31st. Attendees must exhibit a sincere interest in the pork industry and agriculture and do not have to be from pork-producing families. The Institute covers the cost of lodging and meals. The applications can be obtained from www.ilpork.com or call 217-529-3100. That's 529-3100. Application deadline is June 1st. Memorial Day service scheduled. Decatur. Korean War veterans will sponsor a Memorial Day service at 11:30 a.m. Monday, May 29th, in the Graceland Cemetery Veterans Section. The featured speaker will be Representative Bill Mitchell. State to receive $1 million settlement. Chicago. Illinois will receive just over $1 million of a $33 million multi-state settlement with Johnson & Johnson to resolve allegations the healthcare giant sold numerous non-prescription medicines that didn't meet federal quality requirements. The settlement was announced Wednesday by attorneys general in 42 states, including in Illinois. The case dates from 2009, when Johnson & Johnson began dozens of voluntary recalls of popular over-the-counter medicines for children and adults, including Tylenol, Motrin, and Benadryl. Those and several other products made by J&J factories in Puerto Rico and suburban Philadelphia were recalled for issues including unpleasant smells, metal shards in liquid medicines, and wrong ingredients levels. Many products weren't available in stores for years. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan said the settlement serves as a reminder for companies to follow manufacturing processes required by law. Day by day, on this date, in 1521, Martin Luther was banned by the Edict of Worms because of his religious beliefs and writings. In 1868, the impeachment trial of President Andrew Johnson ended with his acquittal on the remaining charges. In 1897, the Gothic horror novel Dracula by Bram Stoker was first published in London. In 1938, the House Un-American Activities Committee was established by Congress. 1940, Operation Dynamo, the evacuation of some 338,000 Allied troops from Dunkirk, France, began during World War II. In 1942, the Tule Lake Segregation Center for Japanese-American wartime internees opened in Northern California. The U.S. War Department formally established the Armed Forces Radio Service, AFRS. Radio Tokyo boasted of recent victories in the Pacific War and declared that the Japanese people look forward to a triumphal march into London and a victory march in New York. In 1954, explosions rocked the aircraft carrier USS Bennington off Rhode Island, killing 103 sailors. The initial blast was blamed on leaking catapult fluid ignited by the flames of a jet. In 1960, UN Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge accused the Soviets during a meeting of the Security Council of hiding a microphone inside a wood carving of the Great Seal of the United States that had been presented to the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. In 1972, President Richard M. Nixon and Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev signed the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty in Moscow. The U.S. withdrew from the treaty in 2002. In 1977, George Willig scaled the outside of the South Tower of the New York's World Trade Center. He was arrested at the top of the 110-story building. In 1981, 14 people were killed when a Marine jet crashed into the flight deck of the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz off Florida. 1991, a Lauda Air Boeing 767 crashed in Thailand, killing all 223 people aboard. In 2007, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, U.S. Ambassador Ryan Crocker, and American Commander General David Petraeus flew to Iraq's blistering western desert in a rare joint outing to highlight gains there in the fight against insurgents. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated May 26, 2017. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.